that sound? Why? It means Cousin Rick is calling in from Needham, Massachusetts with Rick's Tech Talk.
Good morning, RT.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, keep that sound. Ooh, yeah, it kind of like back scratch in there.
Yeah, cat scratch fever.
Okay, oh, you're digressing.
Anyway. Yeah.
You're digressing early.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a celebration of Woodstock, so, you know, all bets are off here.
Yeah, well, speaking of John B. Sebastian.
John B. Sebastian?
Yes, I just saw the movie this weekend, Echo in the Canyon, and he was in that.
Really?
About the Laurel Canyon music scene in the 60s down there in L.A.
Really?
Yes, an interesting movie.
All right. Well, that I'll have to check that out. All right. Well, do you have any other Woodstock moments or perhaps a ride of the week for us?
Well, that's a segue there. No other Woodstock moments.
Okay.
But I think we talked about Woodstock, my experiences there at the Bethel Woods Center a couple of weeks ago.
Definitely.
Yeah, but the ride of the week is the 2020 Kia Telluride V6 all-wheel drive SUV, the SX option. Now this is it's an elegant ride. It comes in with a special snow white pearl paint, and the specs on this are a 3.8 liter V6 engine of 291 horsepower and 262 pound-feet of torque, which is hooked up to an 8-speed automatic transmission, and it's got on-demand all-wheel drive. And I was driving this around the Catskill Mountains this weekend. And it very nice handling car. And you have lots of drive options. I put it into the eco mode because I'm cheap and I want to save gas.
Right.
And the EPA numbers on this car are 19 city, 24 highway, combined 21 miles to the gallon. But in the eco mode, even with the air conditioner on, I was up around 26, 27 miles to the gallon.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Good.
And it's the car is built, or the vehicle is built, in West Point, Georgia. Many of the car companies build their SUVs here in the United States because that's where their biggest market is. And the engine itself in this car comes from Korea, and the transmission is from the USA. So it's about 50-50 split between Korean content and the U.S.-Canadian content.
Yeah, sounds like a wonderful international effort.
Yeah, and it's got the Napa leather seats, N-A-P-P-A leather seats that Kia uses, and they're heated and ventilated in the front and in the second row as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of comfortable there. And it, let's see, the base price on the vehicle is $43,490. But with the options here, the SX package with a head-up display and the Napa leather and so on, that comes in at a couple thousand for that. And the total, including delivery, is $47,705. And, I remember last week we had the Kia K900 sedan, which was a lot more expensive, but the luxury level in the Telluride SUV is just about equal to what's in the Kia K900, plus you get, it depends on which configuration you get, you can get 7 or 8 people in the car, or in the vehicle.
Yeah. Now, is the Napa related to the Naga by any chance?
I don't know, but you have to go on a Naga hunt. Back in the 60s, you remember the Naga?
Yes, I know.
The animal that was created for advertising to go with the Naga hide, upholstery, which was basically vinyl.
Right. I remember it well.
Yes.
And does it have a CD player by any chance?
No. No CD player. I was kind of disappointed. I grabbed some CDs and couldn't find the slot.
Right. Oh, well. Okay, anything else automotive you have for us?
Oh, well, let me look. Well, we have, like, motion stuff. Well, all kind of, yeah, this is automotive. Okay, Walmart is testing self-driving vehicles for food deliveries in Bentonville, Arkansas. They're starting, it's a pilot program, so they're just doing some proving trials between two of the Walmart stores in Bentonville, Arkansas, and they're using this to learn about, say, the logistics of autonomous vehicles in delivering groceries. So whether this pans out or not, we'll find out, but it goes to show you that Walmart even is a technology company.
Right. Well, you know, it should be interesting to see how all these tests go and see if, you know, self-driving cars are really a viable option, you know. So, yes, it should be very
interesting. Yes, but the key is getting your stuff out of the vehicle without having someone else take it.
Yeah.
So you would probably have compartments in there that each one had a code that the vehicle would come up and you would unload it. And although if nobody's home, what happens?
Well, that is a good question.
Yes.
Then you need a self-unloading car.
Well, that's all part of the proving nature of these trials.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, very good. Do you have a Musk minute for us by any chance?
Not really. We're just waiting for Elon to talk about the Starship. He has another design iteration on his Starship. And that supposedly is coming up on maybe by the 24th of the month. And then his Starhopper boilerplate test vehicle is due to make another hop of maybe 200 meters, which is around 600 and some odd feet,
right,
down in Boca Chica, Texas.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's interesting because you might have seen the show. I mean, I think it was on a while ago, but I had it recorded. It was a Nova show that was called The Rise of the Rockets. I don't know if
yes,
you saw
about
that.
The private enterprise, people like Jeff Bezos and Blue Origin.
Right, and Musk, and very interesting, and also that whole offshoot of the really small rockets that send up the miniature satellites. You know, again, at like a tenth of the cost of you know, regular rocket launches. So there's all kinds of things going on.
Yes, there's along that line, a company called Rocket Lab out of New Zealand and the U.S. has shown it has a rocket to launch small satellites. And they've just announced a scheme to recover the rockets to make them fully reusable.
Mm.
And basically what they would do is they would launch the rocket, and then on the way down, instead of impacting in the ocean, a parachute would deploy. The pilot chute would come out and then deploy a larger parachute that is a parasail, one of these inflatable parachutes that allows a payload to glide. And while this payload is gliding, a helicopter would fly above it and snag the line and take the rocket booster, the small rocket booster, and plunk it down on a ship to make it fully reusable.
Oh, yeah, that's like kind of a Rube Goldberg sort of thing.
That's right, all this stuff is, but, you know, that's how, you know, things get done.
Yeah, no kidding. So, okay, well, any other tech talk you have for us?
Oh, yeah. Hey, how about the s'mores robot?
Okay, why not?
It's not a robot for making s'mores, but somebody came up with a clever name, and it's from the University of Pennsylvania, their Mod Lab, M-O-D-L-A-B. I guess that's kind of a Woodstock thing, right?
Yeah,
Mod Lab.
Yeah.
And these are robot modules that have, like, they look like little squares with wheels on them, and they have connectors that can plug into other modules. And these would be put together to form different kind of vehicles or different systems. And it would be eventually autonomous, but what would happen is that maybe you'd have one module that would assist the other modules in arranging them and putting the blocks together. And so, but it's an interesting name, S'mores, S-M-O-R-E-S-E-P,
yeah.
Robots.
I was going to say, it makes me think of like large Tinker Toys. Assemble all the different pieces.
Well, that's a lot of these systems are modular, and by doing that, you get a lot of flexibility. And you just have to balance flexibility with utility. Now, if you're, like a jack of all trades, and hopefully a little more masterful technology.
Right, right. Yeah, very interesting. I actually met the Rector set. I had fond memories of Rector sets in my childhood. Yeah, exactly. It's a really interesting concept.
But these days, it's like Legos are to kids today.
Right, right. You were saying that.
We had Tinker Toys and Erector sets.
Yeah.
Now it's Legos.
Yeah. And actually, do they still have Brios? I know there was the big Brio phase there, but...
Well, that was just big Lego blocks, right?
I thought that was the trains and stuff. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, any other tech talk you have for us?
Yes. Remember the movie Silent Running?
Yes.
They had those little robots on the space station.
Okay.
You don't remember that?
I don't remember. I remember the name of... All I remember is the name of the movie, really.
Yeah. And, they had these little robots that were kind of walking around the space station. Well, NASA, on the International Space Station, is testing out Astrobee robots, and they look like they're little cubes that they're propelled around the station on their own by electric fans, so they can fly around the station on their own. And they have a little grappling arm they can grab onto pieces of the station, of a perching arm, and they have cameras, and the touch screen has two little glow spots that make it look like eyes, and these are being used on the International Space Station to try out various technologies that they would, say, fly around the station and do maintenance, they have sensors on them that detect carbon dioxide and radiation. And, it's something that will be used in the future to do maybe maintenance and be assistance to the astronaut crew on board the station.
Right. Yeah, very.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes me think that, it seems like they would really be useful in repairing things on the outside of the station, in the vacuum of space and not risking somebody going out there.
Yeah, well, these are on the inside of the station to do maintenance because they're propelled by electric fans.
Oh, I see. Right.
To do a little, they blow themselves around and rotate and whatever, and they're called Astrobees, and they've given them names. One is called Bumble and the other's called Honey.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so you see, technology folks do have a somewhat sense of humor.
They do, I know. It may be a bit dry, but it's a sense of humor anyway. But it does seem that it could be adapted in some way. Obviously not the fan part of it, but it seems like that would really be a great thing to have, is little robots that could work on the outside of, space stations or space vehicles. And,
Well, they do have, the robot arm on the outside that does a lot of the work like that, and it also translates along the station structure.
Yeah,
That was made by our international partners in Canada.
Right, that's
the
right.
Canada arm.
I remember that well.
That's yes.
Right. It's a bit of an aside, but by any chance, do you know... What is the usual, population of the space station? How many people or astronauts are in there?
Well, I think they're up to usual crew of six now.
Ah.
You can have six. Every once in a while, a three-person crew comes back to Earth, and there'll be three people on the station. Then the next crew comes up, and they rotate through.
Ah, right, right. And, and it is, a big deal, and also, of course, in terms of costs, in that the Rise of the Rockets show, they were pointing out how, when was the last space shuttle? Was that 2009? I can't remember. 2012.
It was in the Obama era. That's
yeah.
why.
Right. In any case, of course, all the astronauts that have gone up since then have all been launched by Russian rockets. And I'm looking forward to the day when we start, sending our own people up on our own rockets again. That'll be pretty cool.
Well, that could be this year. Well, Boeing has their Starliner, and then Elon Musk's SpaceX has the Crew Dragon capsule, but they had a fire in one of the escape rocket systems that they're working through. What was the problem there?
Yeah.
But it may just be a bad valve or some kind of piece of equipment like that.
Right. Yeah. One other small aside from from the Rise of the Rockets show is that they were pointing out that the escape tower of the Apollo was like about twice as powerful as the Redstone rocket that shot Alan Shepard into a suborbital, mission there. And of course they were talking about what is it again called? The heavy, the huge rocket that's NASA's building.
The SLS, the Space
SLS,
Launch System.
That's right. So anyhow, another thing. And then, of course, way over budget and, over time, but anyway, it looks like it's coming at some point. So.
Yes, well, they want to get back to the moon in 2024.
Ah, right. Okay. Yeah. That's the goal for now.
Yes, well,
okay.
If you get enough financing, you they'll probably do it. We'll have to see how that pans out.
Yeah, they've, it's kind of like they've invested so much, they've come so far already, that... you might as well finish it off, like the Big Dig in Boston.
You are digressing now.
I'm really digressing. Okay, I'm wandering back toward Woodstock here. So is that a wrap for today?
That's a wrap. Glad we
That's
could get
wrap.
Together.
Yeah.
And I'll see you on the vineyard.
See you on the vineyard, and we the Rick's Tech Talk hopefully will be taking place in some form. Either with the courtesy of Reese RL here, it will be holding down the fort here at the Cow Studio.
Far out.
I know, and I might be able to join in too. That'd be kind of fun. We'll see. We'll have musings from the vineyard.
Oh, you can do digressions from the vineyard.
Digressions from the vineyard. Okay. Well, very good. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see. We'll see you. Maybe on the radio next week.
Okay, Bob.
Okay, so that was Cousin Rick calling in from Needham, Massachusetts with Rick's Tech Talk.